Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We're holding on the bottom of Yud Zayin Omid Beis, immediately following the Mishnah. Before we get started, as you'll recall, yesterday we told a story about something that happened close to 45 years ago, approximately 45 years ago, with Rav Rif Zatzal, who referred to the fact that how did we get into that? Because yesterday we mentioned the words Margile Bapume a few times. And remember, Rashi said Margile Bapume means something that he was rogel to say. In other words, that Mandiyomar, that Tana, that Amoira said it with a certain degree of frequency. And then we mentioned that Yad Rama in Mesechtes Sanhedrin said that the word Margile comes from the word Margolius, which means a pearl. And then I told the story that when I was a kid, Rav Rif Zatzal asked me about a toisis in Mesechtes Bava Kama, which talks about three different types of tashlumin. Baruch Hashem, I was lucky, I knew which toisis he was referring to. And then he asked me, where else is this toisis in Shas? And I said, I have no idea. And he told me that there's four such toisis in Shas, and that three out of the four times it says in the toisis, Va'om Rabbeinu Tam, Va'om Rabbeinu Tam, and the fourth time it says, Umarg Lebapumet Rabbeinu Tam. So I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. However, I asked my Rebbe, Rav Bik, from the Koil here, and 5 minutes later he called me back, he found all the four toisis. So where are these four toisis? So, just bekitzur, to look it up and show you that this really exists, this is not just a joke. First one was in Bava Kama Mem Vav, that's presumably the one that I knew, because I think that's the sugya I was learning at the time. And that's Mem Vav Omid Beis, where you have the top toisis, Hochi Garsinan, Idelek Lishtalume Minei, etc. What are the toisis in talking about? They're talking about three separate dinim of tashlumin. I said yesterday the idius, beninus, and ziburius. It's really a little bit different. Rather, what is it talking about? It's talking about if a person, for instance, owes money to a sochir, to an employee, or he owes money to a balchov, or he owes money for a hezek that he did. What's the halacha? Says Rabbeinu Tam, va'oymer Rabbeinu Tam, that there are three different types of tashlumin, three dinim. What are the dinim? If you're talking about a sochir, an employee, you have to pay him cash. It says in the Torah, kesef v'imeitav, that doesn't apply over here. Here, by a sochir, an employee, you have to pay him cash. What happens if I don't have cash? I only have metalklin, I only have karkois. Well, you, the employer, have to sell the metalklin, sell the karkois, get the cash, and pay the sochir. On the other hand, what happens if it's a balchoiv? A balchoiv means it's someone you owe money to, you're a creditor. He lent you money and you have to go and you're the debtor. You have to pay money to your creditor. In such a case, if you have money, you have to give him money. But if you don't have cash, then you can go and say, I'm paying you with any metalklin or with idias of my karka. There, the debtor does not have to go and sell it, but rather he can go and say, you have a lien on my property, gesundheit, take the real estate, go and take this metalklin. If he has cash, he has to give him cash. But if he doesn't have cash, then he can go and give him any type of metalklin and idias of karka. And finally, if you're talking about a hezek, a person who's mazik, even if he has cash, he can go and give him metalklin, or he can go and give him from his karkois, from the metav. So that was, well, I said by Balchayv, you don't have to give idias, you have to go in benius. Anyway, so the three dinim, by Yisachir, you always have to give cash, and if you don't have cash, you sell your own, you liquidate your own properties. By the case of the Balchayv, if you have cash, you have to give the cash, but if you don't have the cash, you don't have to sell your properties, you can go and give him any metalklin, or you have to give him beininus, since the Balchayv gets beininus. And finally, if it's a hezek, then even if you have the cash, you can go and give him any type of metalklin, or you can go and give him idias of your nechasim. So that's the toisis here, mem vav omen beis, in Bava Kama. You have a second time, and it says, v'oymer beinatav, and then you go to Bava Kama daf tes omen aleph, and then you have the same once again. The toisis Rav Huna, and Rabbeinu Tam says, Ein Esoivri came, but the following, saying the three dinim, the Zakim, Kesef, Oimetav, etc., the Gabi, those three. And then you go to Ksubis, Daf, Pei, Vav, Omen, Aleph. And Ksubis, Daf, Pei, Vav, Omen, Aleph, you have the Toises, Lebal, Choyv. And again, the exact same thing. Voshtei, Bon, the Tesis. Daf Pei Vav. The Baal Choyv. V'oymer Rabbi Tam Gimel Dinim Chalukim Lemalve Ulenizik Ulesachir. As we said before, and then finally we get to Bava Basra, and Bava Basra with Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. And what does it say in this Tosis over here? That's a long Tosis, but in the middle of the Tosis he says, "Umar gile bepumei de Rabbeinu Tam." The Gimel Dinim Yesh from Baal Choyv. You have the case of the Socher, you have the case of the Baal Choyv, and you have the case of the Mazik and the Nizik. So you have the four Tosis in three Omer Rabbeinu Tams, the fourth Margila Bepumei de Rabbeinu Tam. That was the story of yesterday. So now let's get on to today's Gemara. Mindy, if you want, you can you have all the citations here if you want to write them down. You can hold on to that. Yizhok Digmar, we finished off, we learned the Mishnah yesterday, so we'll just start the first line of the Mishnah. Misha Meisei Mutalafanav. Meisei Mutalafanav means, Chas V'Sholem, someone who has an immediate relative that passed away. That is, Chas V'Sholem, a parent, a sibling, a child, wife, Rachmon Litzlan, where the requirement, the obligation to go and bury this mess falls on his shoulders. What's the din about Shemais Shemutalafanav? Potter Mikrishim and Atvilim and Atvilim, we call Mitzvah Samuz Matoira, he's Potter from everything. We call that today an Oinan, where an Oinan is Potter from all the Mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, Zokti Gemara, it's Mashma, Mutalafanav in, Vishay Ena Mutalafanav Lai. That's Dafka, if the mace is together with him in the same house, in the same room, then this din applies. What happens if the mess is 5 blocks away and you're somewhere else? The mace is never at the funeral chapel. You're somewhere else. Are you also Potter? It's Mashmano. It's only Mesa Mutalafanov. I'll ask you a kasha. Misha Mesa Mutalafanov. What happens if someone is Nebuch in the close proximity of the mess? He should not go and eat when the mess is present in that room because it's a form of Loyig L'Rosh. Loyig L'Rosh means to go and mock and denigrate those that are poor. Here, the poverty is not that the person is actually poor, and the mess could have been a multimillionaire, but he's poor in the sense that he no longer has his health, he no longer has his life, because Nebuch, this person is going, is Nebuch dead. So, it's almost like mocking and saying, oh, you see, I can eat, and this fellow cannot eat. So therefore, don't eat in the same house, but go the Bayis Acher. Bayis Acher means either a different house or in a different room. The mainly Bayis Acher, what happens if it's a small apartment, there's only one big room, there's no other room. So you should go next door, you should go to somebody else's house. If there is nobody else, what do you do? The person has to eat. He can't go and fast all the time. He may take him a while until this mess is buried. So he goes and puts up a big partition in the room, and he sits on the other side of the partition. What happens if he doesn't have anything to make a machitza? What should he do now? Go and turn in the other direction so that he shouldn't be facing the mess. The mess shouldn't be facing him. Should be back of him whilst he is eating. And in the word mesiv is like we have the seba on Pesach night by the Seder. He shouldn't go and eat in such a comfortable, leisurely manner, but he should go and show a certain degree of restraint and constraint in the way he conducts himself. He shouldn't go and eat this lavish meal of meat. He shouldn't drink wine. He doesn't make any brachos either before or after. So if he's eating bread, he doesn't have to make a moitzi. Vein mezamin means he doesn't have to do birchas hamazon, he doesn't have to bench. Vein mevorchen olav, which means that he doesn't have to ask somebody else, Yankel, do me a favor and be moitzi me, because I can't make a bracha, be moitzi me. Vein mezamin olav, he's not mitzaref to zimun, so if you have two other people that have eaten and they want to be mitzaref to say raboisai, he can't be mitzaref to them. Umater mi kriyishma umenatvila umenatvila umikol. Like the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, you put it from all of those things. Now, before we continue on the Braisa, what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is that we ended off the Braisa so far. We're in the middle of the Braisa, but the Braisa says, you put it, mikrishma, minatvila, minatvila, mikom mitzvah, matoyr, which is word for word the words that we had in our Mishnah. So what's the kasha then? The kasha is because our Mishnah is talking about Dafka in a case of Mesoi Mutal Lefanav, that he is within the presence of the mess, Rachmon Litzlan. But the Brais is talking about all types of cases. The Braisa says, for instance, he can be oichel bebeis chaveiroi. If he's bebeis chaveiroi, it's no longer meisei mutal afanav. But nevertheless, the Braisa says, you're still part of me, kriyashmal min atvilim min atvilim. When we come, it's a matzaira. So Frank says, Gemara, don't I have a stira? Our Mishnah says you're only potter if the mace is mutal afanav. But this price it talks about that you're potter even if the mace is not mutal afanav. Even if the mace is bebayis acher, bebeis chaveiroi. And that's the Gemara's kasha. But before we get to answer the Gemara's kasha, we finish off the Braisa. Third line. Ubishabis, all of those halachas that you're potter from all of these dinim is during the week. What happens if Nebuchadnezzar passed away 5 minutes before Shabbos? And the mess is there with you in the bayis on Shabbos itself. Ubishabis, mesa v'oichel, v'oichel basar, v'shoise yayin, umavarech, umezamin, umavarchan olav, umezamin olav, v'chai, b'chol, mitzvah, amuris, v'tayin. All the hilchas aninus are suspended during Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos, it'll start over again. But during Shabbos, it's all suspended because Shabbos is Shabbos. Aha. Reb Shim Gamliel adds to this price, and he says, "Mitoshin Eschay Be'elu." Since you're telling me Eschay Be'chol Mitzvah Matayra, and Eschay Be'kula, and he's Machuyev in everything, and that sounds somewhat repetitive. Once you said Mitoshin Eschay Be'elu, what means Elu? Elu means Eschay Be'chol Mitzvah Samuris Matayra. Oh, if you chayv in all the mitzvahs, then you chayv in all the mitzvahs. So, Freyti Mor of Amr Rabbi Yechon Amai Benai, what is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel adding here to the equation? And, in fact, what is he arguing with the Tanakhama? Evni Mor Tashra Shemita Ikka Benai. The Nafkimina is the obligation of a husband to go and live with his wife on Friday night, because it's an obligation for a husband to produce, to give his wife She'er K'sus V'oina. Oina means living with his wife from time to time, and the normal Oina is Friday night on Shabbos. So now the question is, he is an Oinein, is he allowed to engage in Tashma Shemitah? That's the machloket between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanakhama holds that anything which is Befahesia, which is Goli the Yadua, people see what he's doing, then he's Chayv.
No one's supposed to see.
Exactly. When you're talking about Inyan of Diyah of Tashma Shemitah, that's already Bitzina. So the question is whether the Dinam of Aninus are Noheg Bitzina. You have a similar halacha even today, whether or not if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, where we know that it's like a regular Shabbos, that people eat and drink and they're merry. The question is whether the din of Avelis of Tisha B'Av is Noheg Bitzina. Anyway, for those of you that are curious, what's the halacha is that if you don't have to, if you don't have a grace the Yetzirah, and if you've been with your wife the whole week, etc., then one should be Monea, one should refrain from Tashma Shemitah. Even today, if Chas V'Sholom Shabbos falls out on, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, one should refrain. However, it says if a person Misha Yitzroy Miskaber Olav, or that he was away, or she was away for the last few days, so then the Oina obligation is stronger by Bomina Derech, Ohaylech L'Derech. Anyway, the purpose of this year is not to teach halacha l'maisa, just to show you that this halacha still applies not only in the case of an oinen, but even more generally. So we have a machlokes between the Tanakhama and between Rav Shimon Gamliel, where the Tanakhama says you have no chiyav of tashmish that night on Shabbos, but Rav Shimon Gamliel says you mechuyev be'elu, those that we enunciated, those that we enumerated, tzchay v'kulin, even tashmish mitzvah as well.
Do these rules also apply for Yom Tovim?
I believe so. One should never know about these things, but I believe that the case is, yeah.
So there is a suspension of...
of the Aninus on the Yom Tov as well, just like Shabbos. But again, if and when this were to occur, Chas V'Sholom,
right,
speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi.
According to the Tanakhama, yes, is a mitzvah more of a Torah. So, how do you tell me it says five comments is more of a Torah, that's not including
If we wouldn't have Reb Shimon Gamliel, l'choy, we would say that includes that as well. Since we have Reb Shimon Gamliel, it says there's one more Neschay Bekulan, so the Tanakhama must be missing something. So Al Korchach must be Tashma Shemita. Mm-hmm. So you were saying he should have been more specific. He was talking about all those mitzvahs hagluyos that people see b'fahesia, things which Batina he wasn't getting into. Reb Shimon Gamliel says he weren't talking about it, but I'm going to add one more that he didn't refer to. Anyway, beginning back to the reason why we brought this price in the first place, Kitani Mias, Patri Krishma Minatvil Mikomitsa Zumuzwa Toira, and the Khair would talk about even the case where the person is sitting the base chaveroi or the bayis acher. Everything more Amra Papa, Tirgma Amachsriponava Oichel. Ein Rechanami, this halacha that he's potter from Kriyashma and all those other things is talking about Davka when it's in the same room. Mishamei say mutal lefanov. So how is he eating? He's talking about a case that he had no bayis acher, he had no chaveroi, he didn't have a machitza, he's in the same room, and he's machzir upon avi oichel. But ein Rechanami, if he was sitting the bayis acher, he should taka be mavorech, and he should go and make ala brachas, and he's mechuyiv in ala mitzvahs. So that's the easy terrace that our Mishnah is talking about, that the mace is mutal lefanov, he's potter, and where it says in the Braisa that he is potter is also only in a case when Misha mace is mutal lefanov, because if ain mace is mutal lefanov, in fact he's taka chayv. That's terrace number one. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi said the kantzinish kasha nishkakasha ki misha mutal olav lekoivroi kim mutal lefanov dami, that the words Misha mace mutal lefanov is not to be understood literally, but to be understood kind of generically, generally, meaning Mesa Mutalfanov doesn't mean that he's within your Dalaramis, within the same room, but it means Misha Mesa Mutal Olav. Really, it's not Lefanov, it's Olav. Anyone that has the burden, the obligation of having to go and bury a mass, he is Potter, even if he happens to be a mile away. And that, of course, is the minhag today, that the Oynanim are all Potter, even though they may not be within reach of the mess at that time. So kimin shemutal olav the koivrei, since it's on him that obligation, kimutal lefanav dami, it's as if it's mutal lefanav. Shenemar, like it says, vayokam Avram mi al panei meisoi. That's one pasuk. Vinema vi emekra meisim ulfanav. What is this all about? Avram Avinu, of course, had a mace. His mess was sori imenu. He wanted to go and bury the mess, so it was meisoi mutal olav. And he goes now to Ephraim. What does it say? V'yokam Avram mi'al p'nei meisoi. He got up, meaning he left Sor Imenu there, presumably with a shomer. And then he went over to Bnei Chais, and he said to them, I'd like to go and buy Murus HaMachpelah. And they introduced him to Ephraim. That entire time, Sor Imenu was not with Avram. She was lying wherever she was lying. V'nem v'ekbra meisi mufanav, mufanai. I'm going to go and bury the mace in front of me. She wasn't there, Milfonai, but it was just Mutal Olav, or Mutalis Olav. So therefore, Zokta Yomara, we see from this, these two psukim together, calls Manche, Mutal Olav Lekoivrei, Ki Mutal Lefonav Tami. Any person who has the obligation to go and bury a mess, we look upon it, we consider it as if the person is Mutal Lefonav Mamish within that person's Dalaramis, but really, we don't mean it literally, we just mean it in a more generic, general form. So Kimara, until now we're focusing on Meisoi. In other words, it's his mess. Misha Meisoi Mutalafanov. That individual is potter from all those mitzvahs. So Kimara Meisoi and Am Mishamri Loi. What happens if you're not the immediate relative of the mess, but you've been asked to be the shomer of the mess? Which, of course, is quite common today, that you have a shomer that's watching the mess until the time of the Levi. So Freik Kimara, it's mashma from our Mishnah and from this Braisa that only the mess has that dispensation, only that exception, only a relative that he's off the hook. But the shomer zeitzchos would be mechuyev in all mitzvahs. Freidimor vatani, I have a Braisa, mishamris a mess, a person who's the shomer, avu bishenoi mesa, even though it's not his mess, potter mi kriyashma menetfilim menetfilim kol mitzvahs amuz batoira. So you see that it's not def. But even if it's not his mess, as long as he is a shomer, says Imar, I agree with you. These two ideas are not mutually exclusive. They work together. Mishamrei ava bishena meisai, meisai ava bishena mishamrei. These are two separate halachas. If it happens to be that it's your mess, Rachman Litzlan, even though it's you're not the shomer, you're parted from all these mitzvahs. And if you happen to be the shomer, even though it's not your mess, also you part of Mikola Mitzvahs. So the two are parallel halachas. Zotimor Meisoi Umishamri En and Mahalach Mabesa Kvaris Lai. It sounds like you're only potter because either it's your immediate relative that Chas V'Shalom just passed away, or you happen to be the Shoyman. What happens if you are just walking generally in a Beis HaChaim, in any cemetery? Now what's the halacha then? It sounds like you're mechuyev in all mitzvahs. I'm mechalach by beisak kvaris loy. If you're more of a tanya, I'll bring your eye from a brisa. Lo yehalach odem beisak kvaris utfilin beroyshoy. If a person is walking in the beisachaim, take off your tefillin. Don't have sefer Torah bizroyoy v'koyre. Don't be learning, don't be reading the sefer Torah inside a cemetery. Vim oisekein, if a person does it, oivim mishim loigla rush cherif oiseyu. As he's mocking the dead, he's mocking the impoverished that don't have the opportunity to go and do these mitzvahs. So now, it's not just Mason with Lefanet. It's not just Shoimer, but any person that's within the vicinity of a mess is Patur. So, Ibazoi, why are we limiting it to Mason with Lefanet, to a relative, or to a case of a Shoimer? And for the Mar Hosom, Toich Arba Amos. Who the author? Chutzi Arba Amos is Chayv. The Omer Mar, Mace Toifis Dalar Amos, the Krishma. It's Hocha Chutz Dalar Amos Nami Potter. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say is, like, a person walking in a Beis HaChaim, when should he not wear tefillin? When should he not have a Sefer Torah if he's within Dalar Amos of a mess? However, if he's not within Dalar Amos of a mess, Einachanami, he could go and wear tefillin. He can go and say Kriya Shema because there's no Loig L'Rosh. He is removed from the vicinity of the mess because he's not within the Dalar Amos. Obviously, if you're going through a cemetery, or almost everywhere that you go, it's going to be within Dalet Amos of a mess, to the right or to the left, unless you have these major, major roads in the cemetery between one row of the, between one plot and another plot. But other, in the normal circumstances, wherever you go, you're going to be very close to a mess. But outside the cemetery, as long as you're no longer Arba Amos, no problem. So that's all the gabi the din of going to a cemetery. Well, where, when you're talking about mesa mutal afanav or a shoimer, then the person is potter, even in the case of chutz ledal ramis. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Hos am toich arba amos hu diyoser chutz arba amos is chayiv. Diom amar meis toifis dalet amos. Here, the krishma. Hocha, in our case, meaning the meis, meis soy, or mishamroi, that he's the shoimer, or a relative, even chutz ledal ramis, is also nami potter. So the more about the gufa, we just learned about the shomer hamishamer is a mess of bishayin and meisay potter bekrishma and betfila when the tefillah mekal mitzvah amuris betoyer. That's dafke if there's only one shomer. Hayushnayim, if there are two shomrim, zeh mishamer v'zeh koyrei v'zeh mishamer v'zeh koyrei. You're going to do a simple rotation. Yankel is going to do the shmira, Beryl is going to do the reading of kriyishma, and then they're going to switch. The Beryl is going to go and do the Shmira, and Yankel is going to say Kriyishma. So just do a rotation. Now that's under normal circumstances when you are here on terra firma, meaning you're on solid ground. What happens if you're traveling in a boat? The Choyr of the Tanakhama doesn't distinguish, and the same thing applies. That you have two Shamrim, one will be Shomer the mess in the boat, and the other one will stand somewhere else, and he'll say Kriyishma. Stay away from the Dalar Amos, go to the other end of the boat. But Ben Azi Yomer, who you boim besvina, if they're going on a boat, Meinichoy bezov Yezu, you can go and leave the mess on one end of the boat. Umispal Shem bezov Yezacheris, both of them can go together to the other end of the boat and lane Krishma. You don't have to have one being Shomer and one being Kore. So obviously there's a machloek between Tanakhama and Ben Azi. Tanakhama doesn't talk about the Svina, but Ben Azi understood the Tanakhama as referring generically to all cases, including the Svina case. So why is there a machloikis between Tanakhama and Ben Azi, my Benayu? Amravina, the machloikis is b'choshishin liachborim ikka Benayu. One of the concerns why we have a Shoimer is not so much that we're worried about a body thief, that somebody's going to go and steal the body and sell it or do something with it, but or Achborim are mice. When do we have to worry about mice? Certainly you have to worry about mice when you are on solid ground. In fact, here in New York, we got tons not only of mice, but unfortunately rats all the time running through the streets. Although recently, they seem to be doing a better job in eradicating them. But there are achborim, there are mice and rats all over, all the time. So you have to be concerned that if you have nebuchadnezzar and nobody's being shomer, then you can have these mice and you can have these rats coming over and cholila starting up with a mess. So you have to have a shomer. However, what's the likely of you finding a rat or a mouse on a boat? Tanakhama says, I'm just as concerned on these boat achbarim. While Ben Azi says, no, you don't have to worry about achbarim on a boat. They know better. They don't want to go and drown in the ocean, so they're going to stay on solid land. They're not going to go into the boat. still have to have one and one, one be shomer and the other one lane krishma, and then rotation. I'm not worried about it. Both can leave the mess on the other end of the boat, and they can go together and lane krishma on the other side. A person who's carrying bones from one place to another. In other words, someone who unfortunately is taking the final remains of an individual and transporting it from one place to the other place. Where the Brisa tells us is, you have to transport b'derech kavoid, unless there is danger from our enemies, from the goy. So ha'moidach ha'tzomis b'mokal m'mokam, harizel l'yitnein b'diskai. A diskai means a large sack, says Rashi, made out of or, made out of leather. The yitnei magabe chamar. Don't put him in such a sack and then put it on a donkey or the side of the donkey, v'yir kavaleim, and then go and ride together with the remains on that chamar. Doesn't mean necessarily that the person actually sits on top of the remains, but it could also mean that it's astride the individual. In other words, presumably in the good old days when people were going on chamoyrim, then they would have on their sides and the back and the front, they would have pekelech. And so they would have a pekelech sitting from this side and hanging from that side. So it's just would be a derech bizoyin that you're traveling on this chamor, and nebuch on your right or on the left, you have nebuch a sack full of someone's bones. It would be a terrible thing. It's a bizoyin. However, what happens if he's worried about goyim or he's worried about hold up nicks? So what's gangsters? What does he have to do? The mutter, he has no choice. That's the best way he can go and transport the mess. So he does it the best way possible. Same thing that we said about bones applies to a sefer Torah. What does that mean? Ahai, in which case? Ilei ma reisha. Do we mean on the reisha that what? Just like don't take bones on top of a chamor and sit on the chamor. Or don't do it by a sefer Torah. No, versteht sich. Sefer Torah, why do you have to go and be noyig by minig kavoid? So I don't need this halach. It's chpshit. So tomorrow, migar, sefer Torah, mi atzamais. Is sefer Torah any worse than atzamais? Just like you have to be mechabed atzamais, you have to be mechabed a sefer Torah. It's chadol pashit. And last sefer is talking about the sefer. The sefer is that if you have no other way of transporting this sefer Torah from one makam to the other, other than riding with it on the same chamar, it's not a derech kavod, v'chadach nish kabreira, who knows what's going to happen because of our enemies, so he has to do the best way possible under the circumstances. They say they were, the stories told about people that went into, Nebuch were deported to the concentration camps, and they took a sefer Torah, and they rolled it around their bodies, underneath their underwear, underneath their shirts, to be able to go and save the sefer Torah. They say that some of those farmers actually ultimately were survived. But of course, normally you would not be able to go and put the Sefer Torah in your body. You're not even supposed to touch the cloth of a Sefer Torah. But if you want to save the Sefer Torah from certain calamity, certain destruction, you have to go and improvise. Even if it would be normally a Derech Bizoyin, you do the best you can.
And your life is in danger.
And the person's life is in danger. The Sefer Torah is in danger. Leave the Sefer Torah behind. The goyim will take it and they're going to go and destroy it. And machkan tzuras. Amar Rachma, Amar Rav Yehuda, kalaroye hames ve'inim alaveyu oivim mishum loig l'rosh cheref v'yseh. What happens if you happen to be walking down the street and there's a levaya going on and you say, I'm not going to go to the levaya, it's going to tie me up, I'm going to go the other direction, somewhere else. You're not supposed to do that. If there's a levaya going on, you should go and participate in the levaya. Doesn't mean you have to be there for the next 3 hours, but at least for at least a few moments, walk together with everybody else as part of the levaya, because if you don't do that, it's as if you're mocking the mess and you're saying, "Nah, he's not worthy that I should go and walk with him. You should go and be malava in the mess." V'milveyu, and if you are malava, you do escort the mess. Maschara, what is his schar? Amravasi olav akosav oimer malva Hashem choinin dal umachabdei choinin evyain. Now the parshat pshat in this is malva Hashem choinin dal, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu either lends money to go and support the dal, the poor person. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give him funds. Or it could also be talking about the person himself. If he is malve, then Hashem will be choinein, will have rachmanis on the malve and on the dal. Kodesh Baruch Hu will see that Eden have rachmanis, he'll also have rachmanis. But here the Gemara is not talking about halva. The Gemara reads the word malve as if it says melave. That if a person is malave, chas v'sholem a mess, then Hashem will go and have, will show compassion for that individual because of the fact that he has showed compassion for the dal, for the nebuch, for this person who has passed away. And then mechabdei chayin nevyon, Kadosh Baruch Hu will go and again go and gedu chesed for that individual who is mechabed nebuch the evyon who passed away.
There's also a concept of mitzvah sameis.
What means mitzvah?
Mitzvah sameis to.
This halvoya sameis. Halvoya sameis is one of the things we say in Eilu Dvarim every day. That pikcholim halvoya sameis, etc. So. Unless it's Kalev, your SMS. Do you have a... If you'd be so kind. Just a sidderal, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, Uri. You weren't here yesterday. We were stuck.
Chabad's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're buying Chabad. So that 10 minutes or so. He closes stores on all the streets and
sorry.
No, it's okay, we're still fine. What were you saying? Sorry? Yes. Chabad, yes.
They close when they're buying Chabad.
Yeah.
They close all the stores for 10 minutes to show.
Very nice. In Yerushalayim, they're always plakatin. If Chas V'Shalom a Chochem passed away, a Rav or someone from the Bezdin, whatever, then they put up that Shvisim Melacha. The people should take the day off or take a few hours off and not do Melacha during that period of time to show respect. So in the Eilu Dvarim that we say in the mornings, we say the Eilu Hein. Etc. etc. And then it says Ubika Choylim Vachnosis Kala Ulvoya Sames. All of those are mitzvahs that a person has. Keren Kiyemes Loilam Abba. He gets schar in this world and the keren in the next world. So you have Ulvoya Sames. Interesting. It says Ubika Choylim Vachnosis Kala Ulvoya Sames. How does Achnosis Kala come in between Ubika Choylim and Ulvoya Sames? So the story is told that Reb Chaim Kreisvit, Zecher Levracha, the great, great Goyen of Antwerp, who knew Ganshas Palpeh on his fingertips, like Rav Hirschsprung, Zecher Levracha, so that he was unfortunately very, very sick, and he went, I believe, to the stipler, Zecher Levracha, and told the stipler about how sick he is and what schooler can he give him that he should be able to continue to survive. So the stipler told him, what you should do is try to raise funds for the needy for chasana. That if you have a mishpacha that needs money to go and machasana, they don't have money, go and raise funds for them, and that will be a schooler that you'll survive. What's the basis? He said, because the choyle, after bika choylem, it should come l'voy SMS. First you mavaka choyle, and rachmon l'slam, if the person doesn't survive, then the next step is l'voy SMS, right? First you call hatzala, if that doesn't work, then you call the chevra kadisha. How does the chnosis kala come in between? So he says, if a person is going to be osik achnas eskala, that will delay the period from bikacholim to levoy sms. So they say, well, he was well known, Reb Chaim, for the next 20 years. He went and raised hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for chasanim and kalis that needed funds to get married, and that tak extended his life another 20 years because of that bracha and that school from the stipler. Bruchim to you. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, says the Gemara Vayter Reb Chiya. We're 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Omid. From here to the end of the Daf is going to be a very interesting discussion about how much do the Mesim know about what's going on in this world. The reason for the discussion is because we're talking about Loig L'Rosh. Loig L'Rosh is we're mocking the dead who cannot do any mitzvahs. L'chayra, if they're dead, they don't know what's going on anyway, so how are we mocking them? So there's going to be a lengthy discussion about how much do the Mesim really know about what's going on in this world. They were walking together in a Beis HaChayim, in a cemetery. Tchelta, which is Tcheles, is a reference to tzitzis, and it's saying that Reb Yonasan's tzitzis were sticking out, and they were kind of rubbing against one of the kvarim on one of the matzevis. So, omole Reb Chiya, dalia, pick it up, kadeshla yoyim rula mocher, boyin etzleinu v'achshu mecharfen oisanu. If you have your tzitzis dragging on these mesim, the mesim are going to say among themselves, ha ha ha, here he's going and showing off that he's wearing the tzitzis, and we cannot wear tzitzis because unfortunately we no longer have the mitzvahs, we've already passed away. The Mesim should not say between themselves, Lamachar Boynitz later. Tomorrow, Reb Yoinesen, who's walking here, he's going to be joining us. In other words, he's going to pass away. The Ashav, and now, Macharif and Aysanu. And now he's being Macharif us, he's mocking us and denigrating us by showing he has tzitzis and we don't have tzitzis. Amaleis, Reb Yoinesen said, Reb Chiya, give me a break. Viadi kuli hai. Do they really know what's going on? Well, since the possible mesa made a yadim uuma, the people that died, they don't know anything. What do they know? Yotzitz and nishtitzes. What are you talking about? Amaleis, Reb Chiya says, Reb Yoinesen, im karisa. If you learned mikra, if you learned the pusik, loy shenisa. You didn't review it. Im shenisa, if you reviewed it, loy shilasha. You didn't go and internalize it. Im shilashta, if you did internalize the lepir shalach, your rabbi didn't teach you what it really means. Why? Because I'm a new pasuk. Ki achaim yoidim shiyamusu. The chaim know all exactly who's going to die and who's living and who's what's going on. They know. Who are these chaim yoidim shiyamusu? Eilu tzadikim shemisosin nikro chaim. This is referring to tzadikim, even after they passed away, they are still considered to be alive in a certain sense. How do I know? Shenema. And now the Gemara quotes a pasuk that we've had already before. Uben Yo ben Yoyod ben Ishchai Rav Paolim Nekabtzel, who hikas shine Ariel Moyav, vu yorad vihikas Ari betoy chabor piyoy mashalik. So talking about Ben Yo ben Yoyod, he was Ben Ishchai, a very great person. Rav Paolim did a lot of askonus, Nekabtzel, Parshup Shat means from the name of a place, who hikas shine Ariel Moyav, he went and he hit the two generals of Moyav, Vuyoran, he went down the Hikas Ari, and he went and smote the Ari, the lion, between Chabar B'Yemeshalik on that cold day, a wintry day when it was freezing and it was snowing. Okay, that's simple pshat, but what does this pshat really mean? Zoktimar, what means that he was Ben Ishchai? Freytimar, Otto Kuliyama, Ben Eimesinenu. You're talking about Ben Yo, Ben Yoyada, he was the son of Ishchai. So you're telling me that other people are the sons of a person who passed away, Ben Ishmeis? What type of expression is that? Ben Ishchai. El Ben Ishchai Shafil Ben Misasoi Kori Chai. We're talking about Ben Yo, Ben Yoyada, that even after he passed away, he was still considered to be alive. Now, who exactly was Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada? You remember we had him at the very beginning of the Masechta, that he was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. Where did we have in the beginning of the Masechta? So if you look at the bottom of Gimel Amid Beis, top of Dalid Amid Aleph, where the Gemara told us about Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada. So you look at the very, very top line in Dalid Amid Aleph, Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada Zeh Sanhedrin. What means he was Sanhedrin? He was the whole Sanhedrin, there's only one guy. So to Rashi, he was the Abezin of the Sanhedrin. So obviously, Dalit Amid Aleph, Dalit. That's 4a. Top line, you see? Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada Ben Sanhedrin. By the way, if you're wondering who his father was, the Tosis in Dalit Amid Aleph says at the very end of the Tosis, the Yeshloimar, the Mistomim Mamalamokim of Vivoya, Chiechen Yoyahu Ben Sanhedrin, Gam, who are you? Man. In other words, Yoyada was also, at least from the Chabri Sanhedrin, Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada, the son, was the Rishbezin, Abezin of the Sanhedrin. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, Shafil Musasi Kori Chai, Ben Yoyahu Ben Yoyada, even in his passing, he was still considered to be alive. Rav Paolim Mikavtzel, Shariba Vikibetz Pei Alam Latoyra. That means he was a tremendous askan, and he was marba, and he was makabetz. Makabetz means to assemble and to gather, Pei Alam, collect. Payalim, wonderful things, wonderful pa'ules for Torah and for Klal Yisrael. So he was a great person. V'uikas shnei ariel moye. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that he went and he hit the two generals of moye, but rather what it means is shlohiniach kemoisa loy b'mikdash rishon loy b'mikdash sheni. During the times of the two batei mikdash, there was no one like him. He was the greatest of the great in those generations. They're wondering, what does it have to do with Shine Ariel Moyav? So Rashi tells us back on the Omid Aleph that Ariel is used in the Nach as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. You look at the last Rashi here in the Omid Aleph, look at the last three Rashis. Hu Hika Ben Yoyo Ben Yoyoda Hishpil Es Hashonim Shel Doirois Mishnei Mikdashim Shloi Hoyu Behem Kamoisei. He was Mashpil everybody else in those Doiris because he was the greatest of the great. Ariel the Beis HaMikdash Shenemar Hoy Ariel Ariel Karisa Chana David. I'm sorry, Kiryas Chana David. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Ariel Ariel is referring to the two batei Mikdash. Chana David is also a reference to Beis HaMikdash. We say that as part of the Hoshanas. There's one Hoshana that we say during Sukkot that talks about the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the titles is Chana David. And then we continue on. Moyev al shem shebenoy David, who built the first base of Midrash, David HaMelech, to Osi Mirusa Mevias, he was considered to be a Moyev for purpose of this Pasuk, a descendant of Moyev. Then why is the base of Midrash called Ariel? So we spoke about this when we learned Mesechtes Tamid and Mesechtes Midois, because the Heichol had in front of it the Ulam. The Ulam was much narrower than the Heichel. So when you looked at the Ulam compared to the Heichel, you had this narrow opening in front, which looked like the head of a lion. The body of the lion is much wider. If you ever come face to face with a lion, and I don't recommend you do so, but just in case you come face to face, you'll know that the head, which is large, but is still there in the middle of the body, and then the body stretches on the right and the left, extends on the right and the left, much wider. So therefore, if you looked at the structure of the Ulam and the Heichel, it also looked similar to that of a lion. That's how I've got the name Ariel. Also, Ariel is also a reference to the Mizbeach. But regardless, getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, Ben Yo Ben Yoyada, Lehinich Kamoisa, he was the greatest during first, the first base of Midrash, the second base of Midrash, because the word Shnei Ariel, two Ariel, two Batei Midrash. Vu Yoda Vehikes Ari Betecha Bar Biyam Shalik, what does that mean? Ikka the Amri Detova Gezidi the Barda Benochas Vetoval. One pshat is that he was such an Erlich Yid when he was a Balkari, and he wanted to Mekayim the mitzvah of Tvilas Ezra, and he was many generations before Ezra, but he already had this meaning to go and Toivul every time when he had to. What happens if it's during the winter months? Tovar Gezizi the Bard, he would go and cut through and break through the ice, Menochas, and then he would dunk in, dip in, Betovul, and he would Toivul. They say about people in pre-war Europe also that in very cold environments,
Hungary,
and in the Tzaddikim, Siberia, and other cold places, that there were people that would go and break through the ice and Teufel. Ikadiyamri, yes, what would you like to tell us?
Okay.
Ikadiyamri, the second version is that the Tonus Sifra did Bei Rav Beyoimid the stuff. He learned the entire Sifra, which was taught in Bei Rav, either for Rav himself or the Besmedish of Rav, that entire Sifro, he learned it all in one day. Like saying he learned the whole Mesechtes Erevin in one day. Why do I say Mesechtes Erevin? Because if you look at the second Toises, it says Toises Sifro de Bei Rav, Miwari Dorish. We say over here that he who Yorad Vehiko es Ari. Ari is the line. Shehu Chomer Shebesvarim. Sifro de Bei Rav, that's heavy duty stuff. This is not, you know, it's not a comic book. I had one of my clients, one of my associates called me after the CMHS. He read in the newspaper what this tremendous 100,000 people got together because we read every single day one page. Is that true, David, that every day they read one page, and for that you made a big, I say, this is not a page, you know, from a novel or from easy reading. We're talking about delving into one folio of the Talmud, which requires sometimes hours and days and weeks. I told him in the rabbinical academies they can focus on one page, sometimes for a month or longer. Oh, that's a different story. It's not just a reading a page. So here too, there's a Zifra de Rav. You also, I'm sure you read this.
It's not about yeshivas now.
Yeah. I'm sorry, was it?
A month for one daf.
That's in yeshivas which are going quickly. There's some, I spoke to someone recently, he told me that they just finished off the Zman. During the entire Zman, they learned 3.5 blat. That's over 5 or 6 months. Don't ask me, I have nothing to do with it. I'm just telling this story. Then, of course, he said in the afternoon, they do the Bekir, so that they learn more. But in the morning, okay, what kind of thing?
The Yom Adestav, Stav.
Yom Adestav means the winter days.
He means before Shkia. He finished it. That's the point.
Oh, he finished before Shkia? Okay.
No, it's a short day, then anyway.
It's a short day, exactly. In a short wintry day, where the day ends at 5 o'clock, or 5:15, or 5:30, he learned the entire Sifra in that day. That's Vuyor Vihikes Ari B'Toy Chabar. Okay, anyway, what did we say about him? What we're saying about him, that even though Ben-Yo Ben-Yedoda had already passed away, Afil B'Misasoy Koroi Chai. And therefore, that's what Reb Chia is now telling to Reb Yonason. Don't tell me that the Mesim don't know what's going on. Mesim like Ben Yoyada, Tzadikim, they know exactly what's going on. So don't be over on Loyig LaRush. You, Reb Yonason, brought another pasuk. What was the other pasuk? A Mesim, any Yom Muma, Eilu Rishoyim Shebachayim, Kruyim Mesim. Even when they're alive, they are called Mes. Shnema Be'ata Cholul Rasha Nasi Yisrael. You happen to be a Chol Rasha. Who is this referring to? Rashi says it's referring to Tzidkio on the second line of Rashi at the very top. Tzidkio HaMelech, he's called here a Rasha. which is a little strange because Tzidkio was known to be a tzaddik. Why is he referred to as a Rasha? So the Mefarshim say that he was referred to as a Rasha because his doyer was a doyer of Rishoyim, and he didn't do anything to go and try to improve their character and their kiyum mitzvahs. He just let it roll and let it slide. He himself was a personal tzaddik, but he was, like they say in Yiddish, a tzaddik in pelts, a tzaddik for himself, not a tzaddik for everybody else. So that's the point of the pasuk. Therefore, he's considered to be a Rasha, even though he was alive. He was Nasi Yisrael. He was the king. He's considered to be a Rasha. We're going to go and kill the dead person based on two Edom or three Edom. You don't kill a dead person, you kill a live person. Chayu, after all, he's alive. If he's a Rasha, then he deserves to die. Even when he's alive, he's already considered to be dead. So therefore, Rabbi Yonah said, don't tell me about that pasuk, that Mesim Leyonim Yemumah, that's not talking about really dead people. It's talking about Tzadikim. I'm sorry, it's talking about Rishoyim, Shafil B'chayim, Kruyim, Mesim. So we're going to continue talking later about this Inyan. B'nei Rabbi Chiya Nofek L'Kiyosa. The children of Rabbi Chiya went out to the Kiryasa. Kiryasa, says Rashi, means out to farmland. Their estate, Rashi says, Lis'asik ba'avoidas achuzosam. They went to become farmers for a period of time. And during that period of time, they left the Koisli Besemedrish. Ayaklu Talmudai. Unfortunately, they forgot a lot of their learning. Havukumetzari la'ad kurei. They did the best they can. They tortured themselves to try to remember what they had learned previously. Omli chad l'chavrei. One said to his chaver, Yodo oven b'hai tzara. Do you think Tati, Daddy, knows the tzar that we have? Daddy had already passed away. The Reb Chiya had passed away. Do you think he knows the tzar that we're having, that Nebuch, we forgot so much learning and we're trying to restore it? Omli idach mino yoda. How would he know? V'aksiv yichav d'bonav v'lo yoda. The children of Mechavid, but the father doesn't know. In other words, he's dead. How does he know? Omli idach v'lo yoda. Walks in another passage. Ach, sorry, Olav Yichab, the Nafshei Olav Te Abel. The Om Reb Yitzchak, Kosher Rima Lameis, Kemachat Bebosrachai. When Chas Hashem, you have a mess, and you have a Rima. Rima are worms that are starting to Nebuch eat away at the decomposing body. Then the mess feels it, just like Nebuch, if you're pricked with a needle, that it's tidvai, just like a person gets a shot, he gets that momentary irritation, it hurts, here too it hurts, this rim lemes, you see the mess knows what's going on. Look, Yimara, so why did you tell me that father doesn't know? No, ami bitzare didu yadi, bitzare dechrinu yadi, sukon zain, the posik is only telling us that they feel their own pain. But I don't know that they feel our pain. After all, we are independent people. We happen to be children, but we're not the body of Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya knows the pain that he's going and suffering, but maybe he doesn't know our pain. Right, tomorrow, Veloy. Vatan, you have another famous story. Mas b'chosedechot shenosin dinner li'oni bi'erev Rosh Hashanah b'shnei b'tayrus. He had a chosid. Whenever it says chosid echad, who's referring to?
Bava Yehuda Bar Eloi.
Exactly. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Gimel in Bava Kama, on the very bottom of the Amud Beis, it says, whenever it says tam chosid echad throughout the Shas, it's either Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Stam Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Anyway, what does it say about him? That he gave a dinner li'oni on Erev Rosh Hashanah, b'shnei b'tzayris. B'shnei b'tzayris means these were years of famine, and there was very little money. And he gave away, apparently, his last dinner. His wife was very angry at him. And she said to him, to this chassid, Reb Yehuda, it's nice that you're from with your money, but what about me and the family? We need money too to be able to buy the groceries and pay for mortgage and pay for chinuch habanim and all the rest. Anyway, apparently she banished him from the house, or he decided on his own to leave the house. He didn't want to cause any irreparable damage to the shalom bayis. V'holach v'lon b'beis hakvaris. So he went out and he lay there overnight in the cemetery.
Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to sleep in a basic room?
The Mefarshim talk about it with the great Tzaddik Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the great Chassid, go on Rosh Hashanah night, go into the basic forest, into the cemetery. So they talk about, well, some say that this wasn't really true, this is more in a dream that this happened, that it didn't actually happen. Anyway, Ayin Marsha and the other Mefarshim. Vishoma shtei ruchai shemesapa zuluzo. As he's there in the cemetery, he hears two ruchais. Rashi said the two ruchais are shtoshtei yelodois meisais, two young women that had passed away, perhaps young girls that passed away, that they were talking to one another. Omruchad l'chaberta, so one said to the other, we're talking about, of course, niftoris, people that had passed away. Chaberti, my good friend. Let's go and fly around in the world. Let's go in here behind the heavenly curtain. What punishment is going to befall this world in the coming year? It's Rosh Hashanah time. Rosh Hashanah, all the major decisions are made upstairs. Let's go and fly around upstairs in heaven and let's find out what's going on. Amr lo chaverta. The chaverta says, I can't go. I don't have the proper clothes to wear. Right? A woman can't go to a chasan unless she has a nice dress. I can't go and start flying around unless I would have proper tachrichim. And I'm in a machzele shulkanim. It's pastnish. I'm going to fly around. I can't go out.
What's machzele shulkanim?
Okay, that's a good question. Kanim are reeds. A machzele means I'm enclosed like in a box or in a sack or some sort of woven
matting
thing.
Of reeds.
A matting of reeds. A matting of reeds. Okay? Can you imagine a woman walking around, going around with a matting of reeds? It's pastnish.
The burlap sack.
He says he has reeds.
Yes, please do. Please explain.
The tzlach says that a family was so poor they couldn't afford tachrichim. And therefore they buried her in Nebuch.
They couldn't afford tachrichim shrouds, and therefore she was buried Nebuch in a netting of reeds. And therefore she said, Elchiyat, do me a favor. You go, umacha at shemas, and whatever you hear, I'm really, when you come back, you're going to go and tell me, you know, give me a full report. So you go and you're up. Okay, so the first one, Holcha, he, Bishopta, so Shitaka went and started flying around. Ubavi Amala, and she came back afterwards. Vamala Chaverta, Nu Chaverti, Nu Mashamat, Mechoria Parga. No, give me a full report. What did you hear? What did you see? Amrullah, so she said, Shemati, I heard Shekala Zerea, Berevi Rishoina, Bored Malki Oisai. What does this refer to? We're going to learn Mitzvah Masechtas Tanis. The Gemara is going to talk about Ravi Rishon and Ravi Shnia. Ravi means the first part of the planting season when you have the first rains, and Ravi Shnia means when you have the later rains. And apparently from our Gemara, you can have two different planting and harvesting seasons. You can have one in the Ravi Rishon, and then if you are one of these late guys, you can go and plant later on with Ravi Shnia.
One that's more
superior,
right?
So that's what we're going to address right now. So she heard, one of these two ruchais said to the other one, I just heard, Mechoria Parget, that in the forthcoming year, whoever plants in the normal planting season, Barvir Shoina, at the beginning of the winter rains, Borod, hail, Malke Oisa is going to go and give a clap to the entire produce, to the entire product of that year, and it's all going to fail. So what did he do? This Chosid Echad, who just overheard this conversation, he got up the next morning, of course then he went to the Bismedish and he davened and Kiyashoifer and all the rest, but subsequently, Halachu Vizar Berviya Shnia, he did not go and plant in the Revi Rishayna time, he delayed and he planted later on in the season, Berviya Shnia, when the second rains come down. Shukala Ilam Kula Ilaka, everybody else that planted in the first season, Revi Rishayna, they unfortunately all suffered the damage of the hail of the Barat. Shaloi loy loka, but Baruch Hashem, his was intact. He was matzliach. The Shana Acher is the next year. He did the same thing again. Halach v'lam beis akvaris. Again, he went and slept there in the beis akvaris. And again, v'shem oisin shtei ruchish m'sapazum. So the two are still talking. After all, women, as you know, well, okay, somebody may be listening. Yeah. So anyway, they're still talking, and one is talking to the other one, and what are they saying? Let's find out what's in store for the coming year. After all, it's Rosh Hashanah. Let's see what they're deciding upstairs. Don't you remember, Marti Loch? I already told you last year. You should have remembered. I'm still in this netting from reeds, and we still have the same footnote that Reb Simcha read before, because she couldn't afford the shroud. Apparently her lot had not changed during the year. Elas lechiyat, please you go. Umacha at shimas, whatever you hear. Boyi, listen, come back. The Imrili, and you're going to tell me. Holcha shitaka went, bishota, and she flew around. Uba, and she returned. The Amrullah, chaverta, no, chaverti. Masham is the Chari Park, give me a full report. Amrullah shemati, shkola zerea. I heard that this year, whoever plants in the second season, during the second rainy season, Shidofen means a wind blast will come, Malka Oisen will blast all of the produce, and it's going to destroy it. So what do you think the Chosid Echad did? So of course he didn't wait for the second Revia, he already planted the first time. Presumably everybody else planted the second time because they learned their lesson from the previous year that the Revia Rishayna was no good because of all the hail. So probably everybody was planting in the Revia Shnia. But there, this year the Rabbi Yishniyah is the one that's going to be damaged. He was Halef Hazara B'Rabbi Yishayim. Guess what happened? Shekol Ha'olam Kulay Nishdab. Everybody else Taka was damaged. Shekol Ha'olam Nishdab. His was not damaged. Amr Le'ishtoi. But Nei Ma Ishtaka Shekol Ha'olam Kulay Laka. Shekol Ha'olam Laka. Last year, everybody else suffered the hail and you didn't suffer. The Akshav. And this year, Shekol Ha'olam Kulay Nishdab. Everybody else suffered from the wind blast. Shekol Ha'olam Nishdab. And you didn't have the wind blast. So, he, the chassid, told his wife everything that transpired from the previous year and from this year. Amru, it didn't take long. The wife of the chassid, that's the rebbetzin of this Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, had unfortunately a difference of opinion with the mother of one of these revois, one of these two girls that Nebuch was there in the Olam Emes, and Amrullah. And therefore, one said to the other, meaning the wife of the chassid, said to the ima shel riba, l'chi ve'er'ech bitech, if you're not going to stop nudging me and bothering me, and if you're not going to disagree with me all the time, I'm going to go and show you, if you continue to disagree, I'm going to tell you about bitcha, or bitech, she kavura b'machzel l'shulkanim. You know the disgrace, the shame of your family, that you couldn't even raise enough funds right to be able to afford shrouds, that Nebuchadnezzar is lying there in this netting of reeds. Terrible. That was the discussion between the two women. The Shana Acher is the next year, the chassid decided, I'm going to go again. Halach v'lon b'beis ha'kvaris. Again he went to the beis ha'chaim. V'shem o'isen ruchay shebisap ha'zum b'zu. They're still talking. Amr la, chaberti, boi v'nashe b'oilem. No. Once again. Third time. Let's go and fly around the world. V'nishma me'achari ha'pargat ma'aparon z'bol o'ilem. Amr la, chaberti, hanicheni. Let's leave it alone. Because dvarim shebeini lebeincha or lebeinech, the words that we spoke, the last two words between the two of us, kvar nishmu beinachaim, they heard it down below. In other words, because the ishtrei shel the chassid spoke to the ima shel riva, how did she know? She's there, buried in the beis achaim. I heard. Almo, so we see from this yadi, we see from this that Reb Chiya is right. Reb Yonason is wrong. The Mesim, in fact, know exactly what's going on. It could very well be that as they're Mesim down below, they don't know anything. Mesim lo yoydim mu'uma. They don't know what's going on at all. But you know how they knew about this discussion between the two women, the Ishtrei Shal Oysa Chosid and the Imish Shal Oysa Riva, that she told her, don't argue with me, your daughter is buried in the Machzel Shal Kadim, is because somebody else just passed away yesterday on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Nebuch was buried, and then they engaged that individual, said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome aboard here to our cemetery. This is such a wonderful cemetery. People are dying to get into the cemetery, so you really found the proper burial plot. And as they're just talking, they said, no, what's news out in the world? Was Trump impeached yet? Hey, said, forget about Trump. It's not kind. But what I'll tell you is, there was a discussion between the wife of the chassid, the Ima Shariva, that they spoke about Shavu Shulkan. Ah, so that's how they knew. It's not that they knew initially as Mason. They knew because of Nebuch, this new mess that came and reported what had happened. So bottom line, I still don't have a raya that the Mason really know what's going on.
The thing is that this chassid had peculiar abilities to hear the deceased chatting away.
Yeah, because I've been to a cemetery many times. I haven't heard anybody chatting yet, at least not from the Niftar. So, obviously, I'm not in that same category. But of course, I never tried to sleep there, so you never know. Toshima, another riot. The Ze'iri have a mafkid zuzigabi ushbezichte. Ze'iri went and left money with his ushbezichte, that means with his innkeeper. At the Osvi Ozel Lebeirav Shchiva. Why did he leave money with his innkeeper? Because he traveled away to the Beis Medrash, and presumably he didn't want to have all of his money with him. So he left it in escrow. He realized that she was a reliable lady. So he asked her, do me a favor, hold on to the funds. Okay. He comes back now, a day later, a week later, a month later, from his Beis Medrash, from the Koil, what have you. And he goes back now to his inn. And he hears that unfortunately, Shchiva, she passed away. Ozel Basra, he went and followed her. Lechatzar Moves. Poshim Shem Chatzar Moves means a cemetery. But the Gra, the Vilna Goyen says Chatzar Moves has a spiritual connotation. Not so much a physical location of a cemetery, but some sort of spiritual connotation where the Mesim are, presumably upstairs in Shemayim. Anyway, Amullah, he said to her, Zuzi Heicha, where are my monies? You know, I left you the money. Where is it? So she said to him, Zil, go. Shaklinu mituse betzinura didasha bedoich plot. Tzinura didasha means the threshold in front of a door, or underneath a doorway. Bedoich plot in this place. Go over there and pick up from there the money. It's underneath the threshold. That's where it's hidden. The Eimel al Ima, and now she asked him for a favor. The Ushbezichte, who apparently was a young girl, said, do me a favor, go and tell Mami, Ima, to Shadali Misrakoi, the Gufsoi, the Kukhla, Bahadi Planisa, the Asya Lamachar. I am missing some things. Rashi explains that she was a young girl, and that she passed away young, and therefore she was concerned that she didn't have the benefit of using cosmetics, as normal young girls like to become mummies and like to have, like women, they like to have their cosmetics. So she said, go and tell Mami to Shadli, she should go and send me Masrakoi. Masrakoi means cosmetic, shmirachs, cosmetics for the face. The Gufsoi de Kuchla, and such a tube of Kuchla. Kuchla is stuff that you put inside the eyes. Bahadi Planisa. Now, how are you going to send it? You can't send it by FedEx because they won't know where to deliver it. So Bahadi Planisa, give it to this Poinista, this other girl, this other woman, that the Asya Lamacha, that unfortunately is going to pass away tomorrow. So at the Levaya, go and stick into the Orein some of the cosmetics, and she should go and take it along for me. Now, what do I see from this story? Al Mayadi. Obviously, the Mason down below know what's going on, because how would they know that this woman is going to pass away and she's going to come tomorrow to the cemetery? It could be that the Mason on a general basis do not know anything what's going on in this world, but here Duma made the announcement. Who is Duma? Duma is a malach upstairs in Shemayim that's in charge of a lot of the neshamis that have passed away. Did you ever hear the word Duma? I'm sorry?
Duma.
Loi ha-meisem yehaluka v'loi kol yordei duma v'anach nevorechka, etc. So the Duma is the one that's in charge of the neshamis, and apparently, hopefully we'll never find out about these things, but apparently before people pass away, Duma makes a public announcement, Rabbeisai, make room, because tomorrow Mr. and Mrs. Smith are coming over for a visit, and the visit is going to be quite long. They're going to be staying with us for a long time. So Duma had announced that this planister is going to go and show up tomorrow. Oh, since she's going to come, she should bring along my cosmetics along with me.
Lashon
domeim. Oh, very good. So Jake is telling us that it could be related to the word domeim, like v'yidrei maharen, that when a person passes away, people are quiet from, or the person can no longer speak, depending who you're referring to. Good. Shkoyach for the relationship. Yes, Mazok the writer.
Just a simple question. How could she think that the cosmetics were going to come with her? I mean, people don't take their money with them to MS. People don't take their,
You'd be surprised how many people think that they do take their money along. The best array is they're multimillionaires that don't give a penny for tzedakah, not for yeshivas and kolim, figure they're going to take her with them in with their tachrichim. But tachrichim don't have pockets. Sorry?
She was already dead, though. She knew that people don't...
What can I tell you? If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Omid, on the left-hand side, Misrakoi, Misrak Shali.
It's a comb.
A comb, but it could also be a broader, the Yiddish Mirachsen. And Guvsa is a kona. Guvsa, a kona means a tube. Ubeshvil Shemesa Yolda, since she passed away young, Omrakein La'agmas Nefesh. So Rashi, I guess, is suggesting that she didn't mean this literally, but she's never pouring out her heart. She's pained by the fact that she passed away so young, she'll never be able to get to that Madrega, be able to shmir, just like her mommy used to go and shmir herself. Okay, anyway, I'm sure that if you look in Maharal and these this forum to deal with these esoteric types of agadatis, you'll see that there's much more depth to it than the simple that a girl wants to have her cosmetics. Toshiba Davud Shmuel have a kamifkiri gabei Zuzi Diasmi. People trusted the father of Shmuel, and they would go and leave with him Zuzi Diasmi money for Yisai. So he was the treasurer, and he held on to it. Kinoch Nafshe Avud Shmuel passed away. They have Shmuel gabei. Shmuel was not in his vicinity at the time, and therefore Avud Shmuel was not able to tell Shmuel where that money is lying. Have a korulei. So then people in the community would go and denigrate and mock. Slander, say bad things about Shmuel. What did they say about him? Bar Ochel Zuzeli Asmi. Father Avud Shmuel probably left the money there out on the table, and Shmuel is now eating all of the money of the assignment. Of course, Shmuel was very embarrassed. It's an embarrassment to him, it's an embarrassment to his father. Ozel Basre the Chatzamov, so therefore he went, followed him into the cemetery. Amalahu Beina Abba. See, he said to the Niftarim in the cemetery, I'm looking for Abba, I'm looking for my father. Amrulayz, and he told them, Abba Tuva Ikka, Hacha. There are lots of fathers here. In other words, Avud Shmuel's name was also Abba. So the word Abba over here is my father, but also his name was Abba. So they're saying there are a lot of Abbas here in the cemetery. Amalahu, he said to them, Beina Abba Bar Abba. My father's name, you're right, is Taka Abba, and his father's name was also Abba. So he's Abba Bar Abba, and presumably you don't have that many. No, Abba Bar Abba Nami Tuva Ika Acha. There are lots of people called Abba Bar Abba. Amalahu, Beina Abba Bar Abba Avud Shmuel. Ooh, Heicha, where is he? If that's when you're talking about Salik the Masifta Durakia. He's no longer among us. He went upstairs to the Bismedish Shalmala. He's learning the daf there in Masifta Durakia. So Ad Hachi, as all of this is transpiring, Chazil Levi, Shmuel saw Levi, who was at one time one of his chavrusis, one of his colleagues in Bismedish, to Yosef Avroy, that he's not sitting there among the mason, but rather he's sitting on the outskirts in back of them. Why are you sitting out there? How come you're not together with everybody else?
Levi passed away already?
Levi had passed away. That's why he saw Levi. Otherwise, you know, if Levi was Bespedish, you wouldn't see him over there. Amalei, Amai Yasus Mesroi, why are you out there? My time is Lisalkis. Why don't you go up together with everybody else? Amalei, he told them, the Amri Li, Kolki Hanach Shoni Deloi Salikis, the Masifta, the Rebbe Afos, the Chalishne Ledate, Luiman Lina Lach, then the Masifta Rikia. Unfortunately, Levi had some differences of opinion with Rabbi Afas, and so therefore when Rabbi Afas became the new Rosh Hashiva, Levi stayed outside and he didn't go into the Besmedish like all the other Talmidim. As a result, Rabbi Afas felt bad because Levi was a great, great Talmud Chacham, and therefore he caused him Chalisha Sadas. So now, Mida Keneged Mida, after Levi passed away, they said, since you caused Chalisha Sadas and you didn't go to the Masifta Rabbi Afas down in this world, we're not going to let you into the Masifta Rikia up in that world. Okay, and Hachi B'Hachi, as all of this is going on, Asa Avua, Avu the Shmuel now appeared on the scene. Chazia and Shmuel saw that his father, Avu the Shmuel, he was both crying, and then subsequently he was smiling. Amalei, my time, Kabachas, why are you crying? Amalei, because he told him, Agol Ka'asis. Unfortunately, you're going to be coming up here very, very shortly. Like we say in Kaddish, Ba'agolo Uvizman Karev. In a very short period of time, you're going to be joining us here in this world, and that's why I'm crying. My time, Achikis, why are you smiling? The Chashiv is by Alma Tuva. I see that you are very, very choshev down below in the world that we're living in, that I see a very choshev, and therefore I have a smile on my face. I am so proud of you, my son, Shmuel. Amalei, he said to him, Ichashivna, if I'm taka so choshev, do me a favor, Nailu Levi. Can you see what you can do to get Levi into Masifta Rikia? Because I feel bad that Nebuch, he's lying out there. By Lula Levi, in fact, based on Shmuel putting in a good word, they got Levi into the circle together with all the other Niftarim and presumably to the Masifta Rikia. Amalei! So now Shmuel said to his father, you know what I'm doing here? Zuzidiyasmi Heicha, can you please tell me where you put the Zuzidiyasmi? Amalei, so he told him, I'll tell you. Zusha klinu bi amsa de richaya iloi vetatoi didon umitzi diasmi. Richaya richaim is a mill. In the mill machine, where you go and grind up the tvua, there's an upper level, a middle level, and a bottom level. So I want you to know, I hid my money there in that mill. The upper money and the lower money, those are ours. Mitzi, the middle level of funds that you're going to find there, those belong to the site. Amalei, he asked my time self to Achi, why did you do such a funny thing that you have money on top, money in the bottom, and then the assignment's money in the middle? Amalei, I said a thing to myself, Ignuvi Ganvi, if Ganovim come and see that there are funds in this mill, Meganvu Mididan, I want them to go and steal our money and not the assignment's money. And that's why I put our monies on the top. That's what the Ganovim are going to eye first. So they'll take those monies away, and once they get them, presumably they'll run away, and say therefore they're not going to touch the assignment's money. And if instead of Yisayim coming, if the fact that this mill is attached to the ground, Iochla Ara, if any of the land, the ground down below, causes any of the funds to rot, or to spoil, or to go bad, or whatever, Ochla Midan, rather the bottom money should be the ones closest to the ground, and those are the ones that should spoil. But the middle ones, I wanted those to remain intact, and that's why in the middle, those are not, the Ganavim won't see it, it won't be close to the ground, they'll remain intact. So you see the Erlichkeit of Avu de Shmuel dealing with the money they saw him, and now you can understand why the people gave him those monies to be in charge of, because they realized that he was an Erlich. Okay. Zok Yimara, Alma Diyadi. I see from this that the Mason know what's going on. What means that they know what the Mason is going on? Because he knew that Shmuel is going to pass away in the near future. He said La'egel that shortly he's going to come here and join us. So you see that he knows what's going on. Now, apparently this wasn't the next day, because then the Gemara could have given the same terrors that Duma went and advised him, but probably a week later or whatever. So the Gemara, since Shmuel was so chashiv, they said, the Duma or one of his shlichim said, it's not today or tomorrow, but whenever it's going to happen, already make space, because an Adam Choshev Shmuel is going to come and join us. Anyway, what do we see from this? At least the Gemara assumed in the Havamin of all of these stories that the Mesim do know what's going on, and that's why there's an Inyan of Loeg L'Rosh. One should be careful when you're in the cemetery not to have your tzitzis dragging on the Matzevis, etc. We have Rabbi Yonasan Hadabay. Ultimately, Rabbi Yonasan also changed his mind, and he came over to the side of Rabbi Chiya, that the Mesim do know what's going on. The Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr of Yonasan, Minayin LeMesim Shemesaprim Zeh Im Zeh. How do you know that the Mesim are talking with one another? Shneim it says in the Pasuk, V'yem Hashem Elov, Zoyis Ha'orzeh Shenishbat, L'Avram V'Yitzchak L'Yakov Leimar. This is the land that I promised Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Fetimor, my lamer, what is this lamer? Amr Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moishe. Lech Emor Lehem L'Avram Yitzchak L'Yaakov. I want you to go up to the heavens of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and tell him, Shvur Shibati Lechem, the shvur that I made to you, that I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael. Kvar Kiyam Tiel Ebnechem, go and tell him that we're on the verge of being Mekayimit, because Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass away. So he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell the Ovis HaKadoshim up in heavens that this is the land Asher Nishbati that Klal Yisrael is going to go and receive. If you're going to go and tell me that the Ovis HaKadoshim don't know what's going on, the Niftarim don't know what's going on, Ki Omulahu Mayhava, what will you have accomplished by telling them? Rashi says at the top line, Yisrael Gadaita Liyadi Ein Mevinim Klum El Tzar Degufa. The only thing that they know and they understand is the Tzar Degufa. That's the Rima that Chas V'Shalom goes and eats away the dead bodies. So what have we accomplished by telling them? Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Diyadi, no, they do understand what's going on. They know what's going on down below. So what's the purpose then of telling Moshe, go and tell the Avos? After all, the Avos presumably know on their own. So why don't need Moshe to go and tell them? Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that the Ovis HaKadoshim should be indebted to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore he wanted that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to the Olam Emes, he should share the good news with them, so that they should say, Shkoyach Moshe, oh, we very much appreciate that you shared this news about the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mimekai Meshvur to give the land to the Yiddish Kitta. Have a wonderful day. Oh, yeah.